If you look to the screen tonight, I have a little cartoon here to cap this off. The sheep stands up waving his arms saying, wait, wait, listen to me. We don't have to be just sheep. I like that. You know, sheep are not the smartest creatures on the planet Earth. And while we are sheep, how many of you would like to rise a little bit above just being sheep? But being warriors and being intercessors and being worshipers and kings and priests. Could I hear any amen tonight? And I think that's the heart of that. But still, you know, in the end, we are sheep. And it's not the most complimentary description that the Lord could give of us. But it's from Genesis to Revelation. We are a sheep and he is a wonderful shepherd. Amen? Amen. Tonight, our focus as we wrap up Psalm 23. And how many of you, this is one of your favorite chapters in the whole Bible? It is. Isn't it funny how it just, it kind of is, isn't it, for many of us? Psalm 23, there's six little verses, and this is the wrap-up tonight. And Glenn Rennett gave me a little book that I want to read from tonight. Let me just look again. Here is how the front page, and I happen to love books like this. I have kind of a little collection. I have a friend of mine that is a book binder there in Apache Junction, Arizona, and he has millions of dollars right there in his little workshop that's insured. Could I hear any man? But just some classics like this. This is the Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs of Reverend Isaac Watts. Isn't that something? To which are added select hymns from other authors and directions from musical expression by Samuel Worcester. And there are three different versions of Psalm 23, and I just want to read a couple of them real quick. Like, it says, my shepherd will supply my need. Jehovah is his name. In pastures fresh he makes me feed beside the living stream. He brings my wandering spirit back when I forsake his ways and leads me for his mercy's sake in paths of truth and grace. When I walk through the shades of death, thy presence is my stay. A word of thy supporting breath drives all my fears away. Thy hand, in spite of all my foes, doth still my table spread. My cup with blessings overflows. Thine oil anoints my head. The sure provisions of my God attend me all my days. O may thy house be my abode and all my work be praise. There would I find a settled rest while others come and go. No more a stranger or a guest, but like a child at home. Here's another, Psalm 23. The Lord my shepherd is, I shall be well supplied. Since he is mine and I am his, what can I want beside? He leads me to the place where heavenly pasture grows, where living waters gently pass and full salvation flows. If e'er I go astray, he doth my soul reclaim and guides me in his own right way for his most holy name. While he affords his aid, I cannot yield to fear. Though I should walk through death's dark shade, my shepherd's with me there. In spite of all my foes, thou dost my table spread. My cup with blessing overflows, and joy exalts my head. Isn't that a nice reading? The bounties of thy love shall crown my following days, nor from thy house will I remove, nor cease to speak thy praise. Psalm 23, a couple of neat versions there. Tonight, from the Young's Literal Translation, just to look to the screen, this is how he gives us verse number 6, and this is our focus. Only goodness and kindness pursue me all the days of my life, and my dwelling is in the house of Jehovah for a length of days. Say it with me, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It was just a few years ago, and I don't know if there'd be any that would know John and Ruth Riggle, but they were retired pastors, church planters in our church there in Mesa for many years. Both of them now have passed away, and it was just a few years ago that Ruth passed on. Their son, Stephen, pastors a very large, independent, charismatic church in Houston of multiple thousands, just a huge church. And John and Ruth were such a blessing to us. Ruth led our WMs for years, and as she grew a little bit older in years, still was very active in ministry. And I just remember at her funeral service that her grandson Lewis got up. I'd never met Lewis before. I think there were 11 grandchildren there, and all of them grown. And Lewis was a young man, about 30 years of age, and he had spent his early growing up days with John and Ruth as a boy, and I don't remember the circumstances why, but Grandma and Grandpa had raised him through quite a period of his life, and he stood there and he just talked about his grandmother, of course, and eulogized her in just a beautiful way. He told some humorous stories, and then all of a sudden everything shifted, and he just began to recount the goodness of God in his grandmother's life, who had lived to the age of 82. And then with choked emotion, I'll just never forget this phrase, and a little shaking of his head, he simply asked the question about his grandmother's life. Could it get any better than this? Could it get any better than this? And that to me is really, I just kind of take it as a title. Matter of fact, in that second poem, it struck me today as I read that. He leads me to, I'm sorry, since he is mine and I am his, what can I want beside? Can it get any better than this? I really think verse number 6 here of Psalm 23, as it closes, captures that for us tonight. Only goodness and kindness pursue me all the days of my life. Young's literal. The NIV reads, goodness and love, which we're going to talk about that word tonight, will follow me all the days of my life. And I think with these words, really, David brings a summation to all the other 5 verses as we come here to the close. Can we look at just a few of the words there? And going back to the King James Version, surely is the first word. And that's not a woman's name. Turn to your neighbor and say amen. All right. Much like Lewis's closing, though, of his grandmother's service, is that that is a word of certainty. Surely, goodness and mercy. How many of you believe that tonight? That's our faith. That's our confession. Surely, this is the case. 2 pictures, and just to kind of rehearse it again, we've seen the pictures in the first 4 verses that he is our shepherd, and he provides, and he cares for us, and he leads us along the way, and all the way into the paths of darkness, and even as David goes through that, and then we came into last week to look at verse number 5, that he prepares a table before us. The picture from a shepherd really to a host. And that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And he anoints our head with oil. And he fills our cup. And all of this he does again in the presence of our enemies. It's 2 beautiful pictures of what the Lord is for us. And I think the first picture of the shepherd especially stresses that he is faithful. He provides for us. But then we come to the host and that it's an abundant provision. That we don't just squeak by in this life, but the Lord takes care of us. And no matter what we go through, he is faithful, but it's an abundant faithfulness. Our cup overflows. Surely, there's a confidence to what he has done for us. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Second word there is the word goodness, the word tob in the Hebrew. It's used over 550 times in the Old Testament. And the word generally means good things, pleasant things. It even is translated on occasion prosperity. That God, surely goodness, surely prosperity, surely pleasant things will follow me. Just the beneficent Father that we have. How great is your goodness, Psalm 31:19, which you have stored up for those who fear you. What a picture. That he has stored up his goodness and he just keeps giving it, doesn't he? I mean, this is from the Psalm. We're here thousands of years later, and yet it's still stored up, and his goodness is flowing to us tonight. Amen? He has stored it up. Psalm 116:12. I love the question. How can I repay the Lord for all of his goodness to me? Doesn't that summarize our lives tonight? How can I repay the Lord for all that he's done for us? Then the next word, love, or King James mercy. Surely goodness and mercy or love. This speaks of an indescribable grace. I was introduced to this word years ago, and I know there would maybe be a few here. At Central, it's always a frightening thing to stand and speak. I don't know what I signed up for, huh? But with some of our scholars and those here, but any that know Hebrew, this word years ago, I stumbled onto this, and it just blesses me. And as I'm reading through, I many times will note, and I'll go to check, and sure enough, there it is. And it's a word that let me just read the little story to you first. Ronald B. Allen, in a book on worship, he tells the story, and I had heard it spoken and then later read it in this book. But in 1983, he says, I was in a large meeting of biblical scholars in Chicago, and a beloved seminary professor from years ago was about to make a plenary address, a response paper on the attributes of God. My professor, Bruce Waltke, began by reading his prepared notes, stating his agreement with and appreciation of the paper he had reviewed. But then with deep emotion, he left his text and he said something about what was missing from an otherwise fine paper. The author of the paper Waltke was reviewing had nowhere focused on the chesed love of God. And at this, I remember seeing Dr. Waltke's tears. It was he who led my classmates and me to a deep affection for this term in the Hebrew Bible years ago. More than 30 years later, I feel as deeply about this term as I ever have. But as in the case of my professor, I lament that it is known by so few in the church today. Scholars know this word and continue to debate its full meaning, but worshipers need to know this word. It is a favorite in the self-revelation of our holy and gracious Lord. And it is a word that God used when Moses said, "Show me your glory." And he said that he will set him in the cleft of the rock and I will pass by. You will not see my face. But there it says, the Lord proclaimed his name. And one of the words he used there is the word chesed. Would you say that with me? Chesed. Say it again. Chesed. H-E-S-E-D or C-H-E-S-E-D. And the word means, and again, scholars have a hard time. How do we put our arms around this word? It means God's loving kindness, his merciful goodness, his loving mercy, his lasting love. I love this. The NIV uses this some. His loyal love. Isn't that a neat thing? We need loyal love, don't we? Well, true love is loyal. His unfailing love, his faithful love, and his goodness. It's the word chesed. And that's the word used here. Surely goodness and chesed will follow me all the days of my life. It means all of these things. And it really, to me, it encapsulates what we experience then in the New Testament, that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. It's God's grace. It's his unbelievable love, his loyal love, his goodness, everything that he pours upon us. That is the word that David pulls from there, and it's used all throughout the Old Testament of the incredible, merciful love of God. Apostle John said this, how great is the love the Father has, the NIV uses the word lavished, that he has poured out upon us. If you are a recipient of the love of God tonight, say amen, and of his mercy, and of his goodness, and of his chesed. See, say that word with me again. Chesed. See, and he says there, as Alan says in that writing, is that it's a word that worshipers all need to know about because we worship God because of his chesed, his incredible love for us. Then comes a fun word and what I want us to look at, especially tonight. And I'd say it's a key word to the verse. Surely goodness and mercy, love, chesed, will follow me. Now, this is a little bit different. A lot of times we look at follow and we just, you know, we think, well, to follow someone or something, but we need to catch it a little bit further or clearer than that. The word literally means a pursuit. The love and the mercy, the goodness of God is going to pursue us, okay? It's a striving. The literal Hebrew here is to pursue, to chase, to make linear motion with a considerable effort and focus. Did any of you young men here ever pursue a young lady? Could I see your hand? Boy, Jerry Spain's hand popped up. I hope it's the young lady next to you today, Jerry. Okay. Boy, you just woke up. You got excited there. He might be ready to preach on Gideon again. That was awesome. Was that Gideon? Yeah, it was Gideon that night. No, it was Caleb spirit. But anyway, that's the word here. To follow, to strive after, to devise. Literally, as we strive or follow after something, we devise. There's a plan to this. To do something with considerable effort, intensity, and focus. That's what the word means here. So this isn't just as you go through your life trailing somewhere behind you is the mercy and the goodness of God, but it's that his goodness and his mercy is going to trail you. It's going to hunt you down. It's going to pursue you all the days of your life. Praise God. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the little movie called The Sandlot. Have any of you ever seen that movie? It's a cute little family film. What I loved about it is it takes you back to the neighborhood days when kids could run freely, and it kind of was, if I recall, it seemed like the genre of the film and in the timing would have been about in my childhood. And it's these boys in the sand lot, and they play baseball, and there's this ferocious dog over the fence, and they keep hitting balls over that fence, and no one dares to go in. But one day, a kid, they're out of baseballs, and they go and they take his dad's baseball from off the mantle. And it just happens to have two little words on it that were signed there by a guy named Babe Ruth. And it goes over the fence. And then Dad discovers that it's gone, and you have the story, and Babe Ruth's autographed baseballs on the other side, so you know where we're going in this story. They have to go after that. And it is an amazing scene as that boy goes over, and he is going to sneak and get that ball, and when he gets hold of it, that ferocious dog who's just been biting at that chain for weeks or months that they've played, he breaks loose of that chain, and you've got the scene. It is a chase that is worth seeing. Go home and rent it. I don't think it has any naughty words in it. If it does, talk to Pastor Don about that, and that'll be fine. He recommended this movie, didn't you, Don? That's right. He said, I've seen it. But that is the picture here. That's the picture of a dog pursuing. That can be used of the Hebrew word here. And we know what it is for a dog to go after what it wants. But that's what the Lord does for us, that he chases after us with his mercy and his goodness. It's used in Genesis 14 when it says that Lot, and remember Lot had been taken captive, and they come to Abraham. Abraham puts together his 318 trained men, and they go after, and it says this, he went in pursuit of Lot as far as Dan. That's the word here, pursuit. And you know that Abraham didn't just I'm going to kind of dog it along to try to maybe find my relative Lot. Instead, he pursued Lot because he wanted to save him from the adversary. That's the picture here of this word. The Message Bible really captures it well, and I know it's only a paraphrase. It's kind of a beautiful reading, though. It says, your beauty and your love chase after me every day of my life. That's my testimony. How about you tonight? And there's the neat thing, as we saw last week, verse 5, really in verses 3, 4, and 5, I think, David takes us to the real stuff of life that we, verse 3, we often fail, and yet the Lord restores our soul. And verse 4, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil, for he is with us. Verse 5, even in the face of our enemies, that he prepares before us a table. He spreads it out before us. And the picture there, so the context is that these are not always easy times. That the sheep has a pretty difficult path, and the shepherd is there, and he does so much for him. Look at the context, but catch this. In the midst of this context, the valley of the shadow of death, and in the presence of my enemies, I will not fear because he's with me. And he lays a table out there. But then beyond that is that while the enemy is pursuing, the Lord is pursuing us. That while we know the enemy, as we talked about last week, is always going to be after God's children still, the goodness and the mercy of our Lord, David says, is chasing after us all the days of our life. Thank the Lord. And of course, that's the beauty of it. It's all the days of our life. Now, just real quick before we kind of bring it to a conclusion, to make a little application. As I looked at this sometime back, I had two questions. One was, why am I making God pursue me? Because I want his goodness. You know, now it's chasing after us, but I just want to stop and say, Lord, bring your goodness to me. And if his love and his chesed is just chasing after me, then I just soon slow everything down and let it catch up. How about you tonight? Amen. So a few things then. I think, why don't I just stop and let it then? Well, a couple thoughts. One is that we need to make the pursuit of God, or rather, we make many times the pursuit of God difficult through our disobedience. Because, you know, that's what keeps the blessing of God back. And it's easy, especially many of us, that you've walked with the Lord way times beyond my lifetime, many of you here tonight. And we have to realize that he is aware of our obedience, and he's also aware of our disobedience. I want the blessings of God upon my life, don't you? The blessings of God upon Central Assembly, the blessings of God upon our children, upon our marriages, upon everything that we are. And so if his goodness and his love is pursuing us, do you know what can hold that back? I really think a blockade to that can be disobedience. Hebrews 12 says, but God disciplines us for our own good, that we may share in his holiness. How often do we want the blessings of God without being willing to walk in the obedience of God? As Saul learned, to obey is better than to sacrifice. And I marvel today, and just just to think of the times that I've sat with a couple and they're living together outside of marriage, and yet they're attending church, and I've sat with them and gone to the scriptures of what fornication is, of what sexual immorality is, what Galatians 5 says, if you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I've walked through it, and you know what they've done? They've walked right out of my office, and they've continued to live in that lifestyle. And do you want the goodness of God in your life, the mercy of God, to chase after you and yet live in such disobedience? But as well, to bring it even closer, at times when we may use our tongues in a way that James chapter 3 talks to us about. Many times Paul did in his writings about that we need to use our words, what, not for unwholesome talk and not to gossip and not to backbite or to devour one another, but rather it's to be the building up of one another, edify one another, and how we just use our words. And recently I've been so convicted. I've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm there into chapter 7 now, and really it's just been saturating my heart as I've looked at it, studied it, meditated on it. We're going to be there in 2011 together on Sunday mornings. But do not judge, for in the same way that you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And yet how many times? So I have just in recent days been so mindful. Isn't that beautiful how the Word of God works in our lives? I'm convicted about judging right now because it's been really something the Lord's dealing with me on. And I've caught myself how quickly I can just throw out a judgment. I don't want that judgment coming back. I want the goodness and the love and chesed of God in my life. Not his judgment, not other people judging me. Oh, we have to be careful in these areas, don't we? How about grumbling? You know, to grumble is to disobey God. Go ahead, sharpen your elbow and hit the person next to you really hard. Go ahead. Because we all do it sooner or later. But don't you know how much God loves a thankful heart to him? That we live gratitude unto our God in every dimension of our life. But you know, when we go into grumbling and complaining, oh my, all of that disobedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. Another thought is this: we make the pursuit of God challenging sometimes, I think, through avoiding him. And I'll just be brief with this. But you know what? And even as Pastor Don has led us the last couple of weeks, I really enjoy. I had a beautiful time with the Lord just this morning. About 5:30, I get up. I go and it's dark. I drink my apple cider vinegar with a little bit of sweetener in it. It's wonderful. Instead of that coffee stuff. Oh, that's from the devil. I'm telling you, it's bad. I'm just kidding. No judgment on my part. That's between you guys. But I drink that hot apple cider vinegar, and I get in my chair, and it's early, and it's dark, and no one else is up in the house. And, you know, those are the best times with the Lord, aren't they? Just to be quiet with him. As Don has led us, and I personally love to kneel in prayer, and just to kneel the last couple of weeks before we start anything, it just gets our mind off of everything else and just centered on him. And you know, sometimes I think he is pursuing us, but we're not slowing down enough to let him catch up. And just to slow and let his goodness and his mercy, his chesed, not only follow us, but catch up with us. A third thought quickly would be we often make the pursuit of God accessible through our faith. It's through believing that he wants that. Surely, that's a statement of faith. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me, run after me and chase me all the days of my life. Amen? And so what do we need to do in faith? I will obey, I will slow down, and I will expect that that's coming after me. His mercy, picture it, like a dog coming right after you. His love, his goodness chasing you and I down. And then what is the close of Psalm 23? Say it with me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not just in my lifetime, but forever. I'll close with this, and it's a beautiful picture. Some of you have seen this. Some of you maybe haven't. And I've loved some of the messianic studies through the years. Just enjoy some of the pictures of the Old Testament. The seven Hebrew feasts give us an amazing picture. The first four in the spring, the last three in the fall. Dr. Wooten recently was kind of touching on some of that here on a Wednesday night. But the four in the spring are the Passover, and then the unleavened bread, and then the first fruits, and then you go 50 days later, the 7 weeks, and then we have the Feast of Weeks, or what it was, Pentecost. And isn't it an interesting, beautiful thing that Jesus, we know, was crucified on the Passover. He is our, Paul said, our Passover lamb. And he is the unleavened bread, leaven being the picture of sin. He's the sinless, beautiful sacrifice, perfect sacrifice. And he is, says, the first fruits, right, of those who have fallen asleep. So Jesus fulfilled all three, the first three feasts. And then we go forward, and when was the church founded? On what feast? The Feast of Pentecost. So it's interesting that we look at the first four feasts of the spring, what you and I call spring, and we see the fulfillment of the three feasts, and then the church is birthed on the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. You know, God could have birthed his church at any time. And Jesus did not have to die in the Passover, right? But the Father planned accordingly. So we leave then we come into the summer months. We work while it is yet day. And then guess what the next feast is that we are waiting for Jesus to fulfill now? It's the Feast of Trumpets. What are you waiting for tonight? The trumpet to sound. Amen? The dead in Christ arise first. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. The next feast is the Feast of Trumpets, prophetically speaking. And we're waiting for the Lord himself to come down from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet call of God. That's the next feast. After that is the Day of Atonement, the Days of Awe. It is the picture. Yom Kippur, it's the picture of judgment. And how many believe when the church goes up, what's going to break loose on this earth? The judgment of God is going to come. But guess what the last feast is? Oh, and if you have your Bibles, go there quickly with me. Take your Bibles. Revelation 21, and we'll close with this. Revelation chapter 21. I'll give you just a moment to get there. So we have seen Jesus fulfill all four, and we come to the fall feast, and we see that he's fulfilled. He will fulfill the trumpet, Feast of Trumpets, and then the Days of Awe, Yom Kippur. And then guess what the last feast is? It's the Feast of, anybody know? Tabernacles. How does the entire Bible end? Revelation 21. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down. That is the church, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now, here's the end of all things. Now what? The dwelling of God is with men. You know what that word is in the Greek? That word is tabernacle. That Jesus tabernacled with us, John chapter 1. Here we are at the close of everything, the consummation of all things. God is going to tabernacle with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. You know what the last feast on the Jewish calendar is? It's tabernacles, that we'll be with the Lord forever. How does Psalm 23 end? And I will dwell, there it is, I'll tabernacle, I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Folks, that's our destiny. That's our destiny. You know, death is a tough thing. Talked about it a few Sunday nights ago. Doesn't matter the age. Never gets easy. I just talked to Richard Stovall before service tonight and his 95-year-old grandmother, many of you knew, that just passed away. We were just talking about the family. And I said, you know, it doesn't matter our age. It's never easy. It's never easy. But you know, we have something to look forward to, and that is this. The Lord is our shepherd. And in the end, through all the days of our life, his goodness and his mercy is going to chase us down. And then in the end, we're going to live in the house of the Lord forever. We're going to tabernacle. He's going to tabernacle with us. And he will live with us, we with him, for eternity. Amen? That's your destiny. Would you bow your heads with me, and we'll close our eyes, and we'll end a series, just simple messages out of a beautiful, simple Psalm 23. But I'd like to ask, if there be anybody here, I just feel led to ask this. Is there anyone in this room tonight that you say, Jeff, right now, if Jesus was to come back, that trumpet was the sound, or you said, if something happened and I went into eternity tonight, I right now don't have a full assurance that I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Is there anyone here, and you just put up your hand real quick and put it down. Say, I'm a little bit doubting in my heart tonight. I really feel I need to ask that. Is there anybody? Any question? Anyone at all? I see that hand. Is there anybody else? You just put up your hand. Is there anybody? Yeah, there's a little question. There's a little doubt tonight. And you'd like to make sure. Because, you know, and it's not through me. It's not through anyone you're seated by tonight. But it certainly is through the chesed of God, the unfailing love, the loyal love of God tonight for you, that we can settle this right now. Is there anybody else here on a Wednesday night in this prayer service? Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask this one just to pray. And let's just close in a word of prayer. We're going to pray with her as we just pray together. Lord, thank you for being a great shepherd. And we thank you, Lord, that you are a provider we shall not want. You make us to lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside quiet waters. You restore our souls. And Lord, if this is one tonight, and there may be any others here tonight that just, there's a doubt, there's a question, for whatever reason, maybe hearts have strayed from you tonight. Lord, thank you that you restore us. You bring us back as we repent and as we turn to you. So Lord, right now, we join with this one, any others, to say, Lord, forgive us of our sins and cleanse us, Lord. And we don't make light and make how trite a prayer that might be, but Lord, truly in our hearts right now, we say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me, Lord, of any way, Lord, that I've missed your mark, what you desire for me to live, Lord, tonight. And so we ask for your forgiveness, Lord, and your cleansing, because we know, Lord, that's what separates us from you. And Lord, we thank you for the remainder of this psalm that speaks of how gracious you are to us all the way to the end, Lord, that you chase after us with your goodness and with your great love and mercy. And Lord, may we live with you, and may you live with us, Lord, as we look to Revelation 21, to tabernacle with us, Lord, in all of eternity. We will live in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, help us stay close to you, stay close to your house. But Lord, really, you live within us now, and may we live in fellowship with you, in relationship, you as the vine, we as the branches, Lord. Let your life flow through us, each one of us tonight, and may we live in the house of the Lord through the remainder of our days and into forever. In your eternal glory, we pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. So I ask you a question as we close. Can it get any better than this? Amen? Can it get any better than that? Isn't God great?